Hi, Nancy. This is Dr. Hinchcliffe. How are you?
Oh, great. You used to be my doctor before you moved away.
Oh, my gosh. How are you doing?
Oh, good.
Good, good.
I have a friend who is not doing that well, and she works today. So I said, well, I'll call and talk. She has so many troubles. So I'm, I will just tell you, she works 30 hours a day on her feet as a cook. And she's just almost ready to quit because she has such bad back aches. She has osteoarthritis, high cholesterol. She's had 2 stents put in her heart, her main artery, varicose veins, you name it. And she is on blood thinners.
Okay.
But I told her, well, it'd be nice to be able to get off the blood thinners and do natural things, but she doesn't quite know what to do. So I thought, oh, I'll just call on the Saturday program and see if you have any ideas.
Oh, thank you. Well, so tell me again. So she's had surgery, and you said she had a stent put in. Is that correct? Okay.
Stents put in for angina, I guess.
Okay.
The main heart artery. It was almost closed off, she said.
Okay. And then do you know if she has any other risk factors like high blood pressure or cholesterol issues?
High cholesterol and high blood pressure. Both.
Okay, both. Okay. Any blood sugar problems?
She didn't talk about that. But I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay.
She is taking
Fennac, maybe.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Okay.
And then lisinopril.
Okay.
And metoprolol. Those
okay.
3 things. And vitamin D3 she is taking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was very nice of you to call in for her. That's great.
Well, I wish it could have been her. Cause she better, but she wrote it all down, and I thought it was just going to be 1 or 2 things. You had a few things listed. So
well,
maybe they're all related.
They definitely can be all related. And as a naturopath, what we try to do is, and other holistic type practitioners, try to look at things from more of a system-based presentation and see where things do overlap or interrelate. Yeah. And it is common, I would say, for people who have heart disease to have coexisting issues.
Yeah.
And oftentimes that's why I was asking about blood pressure or cholesterol issues. And a lot of times too, then people will have blood sugar problems, maybe not diabetes, but a precursor such as insulin resistance. And that contributes to the overall problem.
Yeah, I'll bet she does.
Yeah.
She's not what I'd say real heavy, but she still is not. She's a little bit overweight.
Okay. Well, I'll just start with diet, just because diet is always the most important backbone or foundation that we want to encourage people, and not just diet, but lifestyle, so both diet and exercise. For people who have atherosclerosis, which would be the reason that you're calling in, that main reason why she had to have the stents, she likely would do best with a whole unprocessed diet, so whole foods diet based.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been different studies done on different types of diets. The Mediterranean diet is definitely very, very good and also not too difficult to adhere to. And then also there has been studies on the Pritikin and Ornish diets as well. But we always recommend if the Pritikin or Ornish diets are used, then the person use essential fatty acids along with it. But the Mediterranean diet is good in that it does include healthy fats in it. So I usually try to encourage the Mediterranean diet and then also look for those risk factors for blood sugar problems and probably push towards more of a lower carbohydrate diet as well to try to balance blood sugar.
Right. Okay.
And then exercise, but we know we have to be careful with exercise because exercise for somebody who's had heart trouble, we don't want them to exert themselves too much. So it just takes a very gentle, gradual training of the cardiovascular system to get more engaged in physical activity. And so that's good to always talk with your practitioner about, or even maybe see a trainer. But besides those 2 pieces with the lifestyle, with a supplementation, there's quite a few different supplements that are helpful. One of the things that I mentioned that Dr. Wright's doing is his Green Medicine newsletter. In the most recent one, the March newsletter, which is just coming out, he talks about stroke prevention. And one of the things he talks about in there is viscosity of the blood and how people who are at risk for stroke, but also for other types of cardiovascular disease, can sometimes have thick blood or hyperviscous blood. And definitely with people who've had stents placed and who've had atherosclerosis, that's something that would be really helpful to analyze. And of course, at the Dahomey Clinic next door, we have Meridian Valley Lab, and they do a great test that helps to check the viscosity of the blood. If the person doesn't have access to Meridian Valley Lab, the other way is by doing a complete blood count and checking the hemoglobin and hematocrit, which can give a pretty good indication, but definitely not as spot on as the actual viscosity test. But if a person's blood is thick, then the blood vessels can more easily start, or the nutrients, or not just nutrients, but the particles in the blood can start to adhere to the blood vessels, the walls in the blood vessels. And so doing things to help thin the blood are helpful. So water, I didn't mention that with diet, but definitely water is really helpful to get the blood to not be as thick. Drinking water. And then also another thing that can be helpful is something called natokinase. And natokinase is from fermented soy. It's an extract.
But if she's on a blood thinner, mm-hmm. sure she is, that she can't do both, right?
Right. So for people, that's very true. So for people, and I'm sorry, I'm talking more in general matter here, but for people who are on a blood thinner, they have to be very cautious about other things that can thin the blood. So you're exactly right. For your friend, she would want to work with somebody if she's going to add something like that on to her supplement load. And another thing like vitamin E that can also, that helps make the platelets more sticky, and fish oil too makes it less sticky so that the blood flows easier. All those things help to make the blood less viscous.
Well, if she's on the blood thinner, uh-huh. she could still take the vitamin E, you think, and the fish oil?
She could, but I'd really recommend that she get overseen by somebody while she's doing that, because likely she's having regular testing done to check her blood, like the PTINR testing. And so she would want to work with the person who's prescribing that, letting them know that she's adding in these other things, probably do them one by one so that they can make sure that it's not affecting the PTINR. And if it does, then the medication would need to be adjusted. So you can take things in conjunction with it. You just have to be very cautious about how you do it and work with the person and let them know what you're doing.
Okay, I'll tell her that.
Okay. And then things, though, that don't thin the blood that could be helpful as well, definitely looking at vitamin C. I mean, vitamin C has a very, very tiny ability to thin blood, but not to the same degree as the other nutrients we were talking about. And vitamin C is great. And then the other thing would be your B vitamins, like vitamin B6 and folate. So taking a multivitamin, I'm always recommending to use the active form of folate now,
right,
like the methylfolate. So if you're using a B complex, you're going to want to go ahead and get a B complex that has that active form in it. And magnesium is especially helpful in this circumstance.
How many milligrams should she take?
With magnesium, usually we say that's about to bowel tolerance. I would say somewhere between 300 to 600 milligrams. But if the person gets loose stool, then we want to decrease the dosage of that.
If she took it twice a day, half as much?
Yeah, that's great.
Maybe help to.
Yep. To tolerate, so she doesn't get the loose stool, definitely.
Okay, great.
Yeah, and we have to go to another break, unfortunately, Nancy, but I'm going to hang up, but when I come back, please stay and listen. I'm going to name just a couple other things over the air, okay?
Okay, and so I shouldn't hang up then, or should I just
No, I'm sorry. You can hang up, but then I just wanted you to keep listening.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great weekend. Nice to talk to you. Bye-bye. Right before we took our break, we were talking to Nancy. She had called in about a friend of hers who's had stents placed, and we were talking about different things that could be helpful to reduce risk of atherosclerosis. I had mentioned vitamin E, but I wanted to be more specific. And vitamin E is something we have to be cautious about because it's a blood thinner in people who are on blood thinning medications like warfarin. But there's different kinds of vitamin E. We usually encourage the use of the mixed tocopherols so that we're getting a blend of the different kinds of tocopherols available. And then we also recommend tocotrienols, especially gamma tocotrienols. And interestingly, different companies will have different mixtures of the tocopherols and tocotrienols, but try to look for one that has predominantly the gamma tocotrienols. And I know that the Tahoma Clinic has some good resources on that. Specifically, if you call the Tahoma Clinic Dispensary or Tahoma Dispensary, they can help there on different brands. There's also a study that shows that vitamin K is helpful, vitamin K1, and there's even more research now on vitamin K2. Vitamin K helps to make sure calcium gets where it's supposed to be, not in the arteries, but in other areas of the body, like to the bones. It's a good way to signal calcium use. There was that research study that correlated calcium with atherosclerosis, meaning that people who were ingesting calcium, they showed a higher risk of atherosclerosis. And what was done in that study was that they were only using calcium carbonate, and they didn't use K or D or magnesium with it. And the K, like I just mentioned, is so important to make sure that calcium gets where it's supposed to go. So it's possible that if calcium was used in a multifaceted way, that it wouldn't have that risk associated with it. It was a correlative study, though, so we have to be cautious on how we interpret that. And it was in milligram amounts over 500 milligrams. And then the other thing that can be good for atherosclerosis is niacin. I had mentioned B vitamins earlier, specifically B6 and folate. But we also know that niacin is helpful too, not only to help reduce cholesterol and triglyceride levels, but it helps to decrease the intimal thickness, so meaning the thickness of the wall of the artery, and it can enhance the synthesis of the glucose tolerance factor, so it can in response help regulate blood sugar better. So there's quite a few different options that are available to help people in that specific situation. So thank you so much, Nancy.